covered some material, and I thought, I need to show that to the rest of the church. So I thought, how can I do that? I thought, well, if you put some pictures up there and some stuff, maybe they won't mind it so much. And so I dressed it up a little, put a little more colorful ending on it. And those of you who are here Wednesday night, you'll like the pictures better. I know you won't be able to see the pictures, Sister George, but I'll describe them to you as you go along. And these pictures, there's some awful monsters in there, but they all look better than Sister Barnes. Okay. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, there is a woman clothed with the moon, clothed with the sun, and standing on the moon, and she is expecting a child. She's in travail with a child, and she has this dragon waiting for the child to be born so he can devour it. Now, ever since the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, there has been a conflict between two seeds. One seed is Christ, the other seed is the Antichrist. And here comes Anime Seals. And here's another one of your disciples down here, chewing gum all that in the morning, blaming other people for it. She said, Kenneth gave it to you. Well, nobody gave Anime her gum. She just brings it with her. There has been a seed promise. God promised that he would one day send a seed from the womb of some distant woman way in the future, born in the genealogy of Adam and Eve, that would deliver Adam and Eve and all mankind from the disobedience that they exercised toward God and which they passed on to all men and women thereafter. Now, the devil has been desperately trying to destroy that seed that God promised, because that seed is the one, the person, the individual who all faith has been placed in from the Garden of Eden right down to now. Now, who is this woman in the 12th chapter of Revelation? It has to be the woman Israel. Of course, we know that the Christ child, the seed, Jesus Christ himself, was born of the Virgin Mary. But the Virgin Mary was a direct descendant, of course, of Adam and Eve. And she was a direct descendant of Abraham. She was a direct descendant of Isaac. She was a direct descendant of the man Jacob, whom God named Israel, a direct descendant of Israel. And oddly enough, both Joseph's bloodline and her bloodline came through Judah, Israel's son, who was the Lion of Judah. And that's why Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. Now, the devil has been desperate to destroy this seed. Well, how do I know that woman is Israel? In the book of Genesis, Joseph, who was a sort of a prototype of Christ, has a dream. He sees a woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, and she has a crown with 11 stars in it. Later on, Joseph interprets that dream. The sun represents his father, the man we call Israel. The moon represents the wives through which his father Israel had his sons. And the 11 stars in the crown that Joseph envisioned were his 11 brothers. This woman in the 12th chapter of Revelation has 12 stars. That's because Joseph didn't count himself in the original vision. And when you put Joseph in, you have 12 stars. You have the sun representing Jacob, Israel. You have the woman standing on the moon, which represent the wives of Israel, the man Jacob. And there you have a composite picture of the woman Israel. The woman is Israel, and the dragon is the devil, and he's very anxious, and always has been, to destroy the promised seed that God said he would send out of the womb of some future woman, and that woman happened to be eventually Mary, who would deliver Israel. Revelation 12 and 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. The 12 stars are Joseph and his 11 brothers. The moon represents the wives of the man Israel. The man Israel is the sun, and the woman is definitely the nation of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Many Jewish women down through the years, centuries, since the time of the promise in the Garden of Eden, had desired to be that woman from whose womb would come forth the deliverer and the Messiah that God had promised. God chose a very simple hill woman, Mary of Nazareth. And God chose an humble handmaiden. And out of the womb of a virgin, prophesied by Isaiah, finally came this promised seed. But the devil was very anxious to destroy it. In verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That red dragon is Satan. He has wanted to destroy Christ before he came, when he came, and the remnant and seed that he left behind after he came. Revelation 12 and 4, last part of the verse. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The devil wanted to kill the Christ child. And he used Herod to attempt to do it. But God, who is all-powerful, protected his child. And the dragon, the devil, was not able to devour, to destroy her child. And she brought forth a man-child. That man-child was the promised seed, the man Christ Jesus. He was sent forth to be the Messiah, the ruler, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over Jerusalem, over Israel, over the world. But he was rejected by those to whom he came, Israel. He was rejected and cast out, crucified. And so the next part of this verse has yet to be fulfilled. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, but they rejected him. And what happened after that? The verse continues. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So you can see here what I have pictorially illustrated. Mary representing the nation of Israel, the woman chosen out of the Israelite race to bring forth the seed, the man-child. And here we see the seed after he had finished the work, done all that was necessary to forgive all sin for those who would place their faith in him. We see him on the cross of Calvary, and we see him dying. He's pictured over the temple because the veil of the temple was rent and the way of salvation was made plain to all men. And all men from Adam on to the very end, even to today, are saved by belief in God's promise of a deliverer who would deliver them from their condition which they inherited by birth, natural sin which was passed on by Adam. You see him completing the work at Calvary, then you see him ascending into heaven. And her child was caught up into God and his throne. And he sits there today, and he told the church just before he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so that man-child, the promised seed, has been there as King of Kings, our intercessor, Lord of Lords, and God of Gods. Continuing in Revelation, we now move forward to a time that is soon to come on the earth. Revelation 12 and 6. And the woman is Israel. I've proven that. I'm absolutely positive. I'm absolutely positive. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you could be wrong. If I am, I'll be wrong being absolutely positive. But that woman is going to flee into the Negev wilderness. And the woman fled into the wilderness. I'm positive of it because that's where Israel has put her contingency backup military forces in case such a thing actually happens, where there is a sudden surprise attack from the north by the forces of Syria and Lebanon, and she has put her contingency forces in the Negev wilderness, and that Negev wilderness is a military complex. I've covered it in previous tapes. I've talked about it at length. It's not a theory. It's a fact. So she's going to flee into the wilderness because this Antichrist is going to come against her. There's a war in heaven about this time. First, the Antichrist comes north, out of Syria and Lebanon. Syria and Lebanon were both part of the old Roman Empire. He comes out of the 10 toes of Daniel's statue, the 10 horns of Daniel's fourth beast, the 10 horns of John's beast. They're all the same. And he is leading a confederation of 10 nations. Israel is driven out of Jerusalem, southward into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. Now, I know that it's been standard teaching for years that they refers to angels. They're going to feed her 1,260 days. If that's what God has decided, that is the way it will be. And certainly there is a precedent in the Old Testament for angels providing food for people. I don't question that. It could be right, but I don't believe that. In the verses above, if you go back to the first logical group of people that are mentioned, it's the Gentiles. Not all of the nations of this world today will be opposed to Israel. When the Bible says all the world in the Old Testament, you better understand it means all the known world at that time. And there will be Western nations like the United States, Australia, Canada, that will still support Israel. Now, we won't get involved in the war. We won't go over there to help her. We won't commit troops to it. But we will provide logistic support to Israel, including food shipments, airlift shipments, into the Negev. And we will provide her with what she needs to eat and survive and clothe her for 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. The Bible always uses 30 days to a month. And 360 days to a year. A prophetic year is always 360 days when the prophets make the utterance. And so that's 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now the Antichrist makes his attack, and you see here Michael the archangel. Now these diagrams are from Clarence Larkin. The only reason I use them, I can't draw, and those are now public domain. They were done over 70 years ago. And Michael did have wings on him, but I took the wings off because angels don't have wings. You say, well, they do, because everyone I've ever seen had. Well, first of all, the only ones you've ever seen have been in pictures, and they were drawn by men who had to figure out a way that they could fly. And they gave them wings back in the middle of dark ages, a little bit before that. And there was war, and there's no such thing as female angels either. They're all male. You say, well, you're a chauvinist. We'll talk to the Lord about it. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now, right here, about the middle of the tribulation period, Satan gets thrown out of heaven. No more to be allowed to return, even on the day of the Lord, as in the book of Job. He completely indwells the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, a human man that has attacked Israel from the north, is suddenly Satan incarnate in human flesh. And the devil has counterfeited God's plan in that Christ was God incarnate in human flesh, and this evil, sinful man, the Antichrist, becomes Satan incarnate in human flesh. He flees southward from Jerusalem into the Negev wilderness. Now, looking at that verse of Scripture, from whom does she flee? And here are the pictures. And the woman, Israel, fled in the wilderness, where she, the woman Israel, had a place prepared of God, where they, the Gentile nations that are friendly to her in the West, should feed her there 1,260 days. The Antichrist, as you see on this diagram, is going to come charging down from the north out of Syria and Lebanon with a 10-nation confederation. He's going to drive straight down, actually, the eastern lee slopes of the Sumerian and Judean hills. He's going to drive right along the shoreline of the Jordan River Valley on the Israeli side, straight south. On his way down, he's going to crush the city of Jerusalem. He'll link up with Yasser Arafat's forces in Jericho, and they'll take Jerusalem, and they'll butcher the people. They'll kill them. They'll murder them. It'll be the worst thing you've ever seen or ever heard of. A lot of Israel, the remnant, the woman, if you will be driven into the Negev wilderness. And once she gets into that area, they have such good, strong military contingency backup plans for that area and forces, they will be able to stop the Antichrist, plus there'll be a huge earthquake that will occur north of there, according to the scriptures, and destroy a large segment of the Antichrist army. This is the Antichrist that you see on the left, and maybe Sister Barnes does look a little better than that. But that's the Antichrist. You know, you remember Doris, Big Doris Fortner? Remember Big Doris Fortner? She was saved here, and Doris had, I don't think she'd ever been to church anywhere in her life, and she knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. It was a pleasure to have her here as a member. So she was saved, and we baptized her. And the first time I ever showed that picture up there, that one on the far left, and said, "That's the Antichrist," she raised her hand. And I looked back, and she said, "Brother Michael Murray?" And I said, "Yeah, Doris." She said, "Is he going to look like that?" I said, "No, that's just a symbol of the Antichrist. He has seven heads, which represent the seven great world governments that have afflicted and affected Israel. Those governments that have affected and afflicted Israel from the very start are first the Assyrians. Well, actually, first the Egyptians. First there were the Egyptians under bondage. Secondly, there were the Assyrians. After that, there were the Babylonians. After that, there were the Medo-Persians, the Persians. After that, there were the Macedonians, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. After that was the Roman Empire. And the last head will be the 10 toes of Daniel's statue, or the 10 horns that came out of the old Roman Empire revived, which makes a total of 7. The crowns that you see up there on the 10 horns of John's beast are 10 kings that will arise and give their crowns and power and authority to the Antichrist, and they will be with him when he comes down from the north and drives Israel into the wilderness. I want you to notice that the dragon also has the same 7 heads, representing the 7 great world powers that affected and afflicted Israel. Also has 7 crowns, representing the seven eras of kings over each one of those that have affected and afflicted Israel, and has 10 horns, which are the same as the 10 horns of John's beast. Now, how do I know they're going to do that? Well, in Zechariah 14, 1 and 2, it tells you that Jerusalem is going to be taken. Zechariah 14, 1 and 2, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue," that word is remnant, means the ones who survive of the people. Now, who is this residue? Well, this residue, this remnant, represent the woman, the Israelites, that flee into the Negev wilderness. And I underlined it in green because in that group will be a bunch of Jews, just like the first New Testament church, who believe and preach and practice the same things that we do, and they will be God's remnant in the midst of the woman Israel, witnessing to her of Jesus Christ in this time of tribulation. And the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now, cut off means they will be allowed to go back one day. When you die, you die, and you're cut off. That's what the Hebrew expression means. But this says they won't be completely cut off from the city. It doesn't mean a bunch of them will stay there. Some will, I probably. Maybe one or maybe a few. But that means they won't be cut off completely from the city, and it indicates, like when MacArthur said of the Philippines, "I shall return," that they will return to the city. And the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city, meaning Jerusalem. Now, this occurs in the tribulation period. Here we have the woman, only this time she's got 2 wings. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. When the devil is cast out of heaven, He begins to persecute the woman which brought forth the man-child. She is boxed in the Negev wilderness that you see here. According to Daniel, the last few verses in the 11th chapter, the Antichrist, after boxing Israel in the Negev wilderness, proceeds on across and attacks Egypt, as you see here, Cairo being the central focus of the Egyptian culture. It leaves us with Israel divided into two segments. Most of the population of Israel is from Tel Aviv north to Haifa. The rest of it is over in here around Jerusalem and a little bit southward. When the Antichrist makes his strike through here, he's going to cut them in half. That's what every military strategist in the Arab world has tried to do, cut Israel in half ever since they first started attacking them back in 1948. But God will provide a massive airlift out of this area and fly them down to the Negev, because they cannot maintain military integrity from Tel Aviv northward to Haifa. They're going to have to give it up. I suspect the United States, probably Great Britain, probably Australia, Canada, will provide them with many aircraft. I know they already have many aircraft in the Negev, many airfields there, and they will do a lot of the airlifting themselves, but they will evacuate the people out of this Tel Aviv to Haifa Strip, and most of them that they carry out will probably be young children. I'm not going to go into that here. That's something that I can make a case for by showing you past military history and the way that nations have done it for the last several decades. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the man-child was Christ Jesus, the seed that God had promised in the Garden of Eden. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, into the Negev, where she is nourished for a time, that's a year, and times 2 years, and half a time, that's a half a year. 1 + 2 + 1/2 is 3.5 years. Where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Aha, now the woman is Israel. We've proven that. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, I want you to notice very carefully what this says. It does not say, and went to make war with her. Now, he does make war with her. But he's after the real problem, the real source of trouble in the midst of the woman. The woman is made up of a lot of Jews in the Negev. But in the midst of that woman, there is a small number, a remnant of her seed, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now notice, it is not the woman which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is not the woman that's keeping the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's her seed, the remnant in her, is a seed, a group of Israelites within her, not the whole woman, but a group within her, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's a New Testament church, because that's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. That's who that is. It's an Israelite church. Now, let's take a look at Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Who's thee? The devil? That same old dragon? And the woman. Who's the woman? Eve. Mary was the direct descendant of Eve. So are we all. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. Thy seed? Whose seed? The devil's seed. Who is the devil's seed? Who is his offspring? The Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist has been around a long time. The final actual fruition of him coming and living in a man has not yet been brought to pass, at least that we're aware of. And between thy seed and her seed, the woman has a seed. I want you to notice what the woman's seed is going to do in the end. It shall bruise thy head. That means to crush and to destroy the power of. That seed is Christ. That seed is what the devil has tried to destroy, and that is what the dragon stood and tried to devour when the woman was bringing forth the child, and that's the reason he goes forth into the Negev, because in the midst of that woman, Israel, there is a part of the seed's seed, because we are the seed of Christ. And whether you're Jew or Gentile, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly in the flesh, whose circumcision of the flesh, but whose circumcision is of the heart. Revelation 12, 4 and 5. Now we're talking about that promise made in the Garden of Eden. Revelation 12 and 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The third part of the angelic realm fell with him when he sinned, way back into Genesis 1 and 2. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, the birth of Christ, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He wanted that Christ child destroyed, and he used Herod to wipe out a whole city full of babies under a certain age. And she brought forth a man-child. That man-child was the seed that is to crush, bruise, destroy the power of Satan, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. He hasn't done that yet, but he will. And what happened to him? He was rejected of Israel. And her child, the man-child, Christ Jesus, the seed of God, was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not the woman that's keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not the whole nation of Israel. It's the remnant of her seed, a group in her. They are Israelites, but they are a New Testament church. When the Lord ascended into heaven, there was a fully organized New Testament church that he himself had organized during his earthly ministry, standing right there watching him go up. And when he comes back, there's going to be another church in Israel like that. It's not there now, but it will be. You say, Brother McElmurray, I don't believe that. Well, that's your right and prerogative. But it'll be there. You wait and see. And it's 9:15, so I'm going to stop right there and put the prayer request list up on the board. And